Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Thursday, July 6th. This is On Deck. I'm Steven Nesbitt, and I'm joined by Levi Weaver, our newsletterer, and one of the best guys on our staff. Levi, how you doing?
I'm good. We tried to do 4th of July stuff yesterday. Went to Fair Park here in Dallas, and it was approximately 700 degrees, so we stayed about an hour, and then we left. We watched the new Pixar movie, Elemental, and it was really good. Oh, hey, I have a warning. I have a warning for our audience. Because the first time I watched Up, right? Have you seen this? You've got kids. You've seen Up. Did anybody warn you about the first 10 minutes?
I think so, actually. Yeah. It was a while ago.
That it was going to be like emotionally devastating. I'm paying now the favor that was not done for me. I am now paying forward to the listeners. There is a short. And as Pixar does, they put in the short before the full-length feature film. It features the old man from Up. I'm giving you your heads up now. Just be emotionally prepared for that. That is something you're going, unless you show up late, that's something you're going to have to just take some deep breaths for. So happy 4th of July is basically what I'm trying to say. On today's show, we are going to talk about what is left of the entire city of Los Angeles. I mean, God listened to Rage Against the Machine and decided Battle of Los Angeles. That sounds great. And he has just laid waste to all of the baseball players in the entire Los Angeles area. We are going to talk about our top series of the weekend. We are going to make our arms race picks, and Steven's going to explain to us what's inside a fish.
I actually saw one. We were on a pier this weekend for the holiday, and this guy caught a big old fish. If you watch on YouTube, it's probably about a foot long. And my son...
It's like a normal size fish.
No, that's Steven. Not normal. I grew up catching like 3-inch perch and was pretty happy about that. Time to find out there are much bigger fish in the world. But back to the point of this podcast, Up, I watched it, you know, when I was a younger person, and it was very emotional. And then we watched it for the first time with my 2-year-old. And I was like watching him the whole first 10 minutes being like, is he going to understand? Am I going to have some talks about life and death and sadness? And he didn't really see anything through the first 10 minutes. And then as soon as Doug popped up, he's like, doggy. And like, all right, we're good. We don't need to have those conversations quite yet. But back to the secondary or tertiary point of this podcast, the Battle of Los Angeles we have here. The Dodgers, the Angels, both facing a little bit of a rough patch right now. And not just the play, they're sitting sort of okay in the standings right now. Angels at time of recording 45-43, but have lost 10 of their last 14. The Dodgers 47-38, sort of just been a 500 team of late though. So the real problem for these teams has not just been the on-field play though, it's been the injuries. They are piling up.
Yeah, I mean, for the Angels, it's kind of been both. But, you know, the Dodgers, yesterday they get news that the platelet-rich plasma injection, I think I got through that correctly, that Dustin May got was not successful. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. He's out until at least the middle of the second half next year. That sucks for them. Then a little bit later, it was announced that Clayton Kershaw, the only starting pitcher on their entire rotation who had not yet hit the injured list this year, well, that streak is gone. He's on the injured list. It doesn't look like it's going to be a big deal, but the Dodgers are already relying on so many rookies right now. That rotation, I mean, they've stretched all the way to the end of their depth, and now Kershaw is on the bench. So that's going to be tricky for them as they face the Angels. Fortunately for the Dodgers, or I don't know, there's no fortunately here. It's not fortunate for anybody, but the Angels are even more banged up. I'm going to just do a dramatic reading from Sam Blum's latest article. And it says, and I quote, "The team has suffered injuries to several key players. Gio Urshela, fractured pelvis. Zach Neto, oblique. Logan Ohapi, labrum. Brandon Drury, shoulder. Ben Joyce, ulnar neuritis. Matt Moore, oblique. Jose Quijada, elbow. Austin Warren, elbow. Mike Trout, wrist, or rather, hammock bone. And now likely Rendon, who fouled a ball off of his leg." I think I'm going to stand by my description of Rendon as baseball's version of Kenny from South Park. "That doesn't include Max Stassi and Jared Walsh, both of whom were expected to be important players at the outset of the year. Neither is with the team. And oh, by the way, Shohei Ohtani left his last start with, it's only a blister, but those things can be serious. We probably don't have to freak out about it yet, but he's not going to be able to pitch in the All-Star game." What? Like, how does this much misfortune befall one team?
Such a crucial time for them, where we're talking about what do they need to do at the trade deadline, not just to be a playoff team, but to entice Shohei Ohtani to stay. Now, Ken Rosenthal continues to write, they're not going to trade Ohtani. He wrote that again today in the newsletter. And I get it. That makes a lot of sense. If you want to have him for future years, you need to keep him right now. But you also need to do as best you can, everything you can to put a playoff team around him. And right now, instead of you know, all these hitters on the IL, Ohapi, Stassi, Trout, Urshela, Drury, Nito, we're getting Andrew Velasquez, Joe Adell, Eduardo Escobar, and Mike Moustakas just joined the fold. And so it's looking so much less like a playoff team than it did at the beginning of the season. It's the wrong direction for it to go. It's also the direction it things typically tend to go until you get to the trade deadline. You know, you lose guys. This is how injuries happen throughout the course of the year, and you need to make a decision come mid-July. What are we going to do with that? You know, are we going to make reinforcements, or are we just going to tell our fans, no, the real trade deadline acquisition is getting Mike Trout back from the injured list in mid, you know, August. Is that, you know, going to fly? Is that going to actually make a difference in your season? No, because you already had him and things were going just okay. So they're in a difficult place there, and I do think they need to put a foot down if they're going to keep Ohtani. And maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe he already knows where he's going after next year. But if they believe they have a shot, I think you need to be serious about this and make some ads, even if you don't feel like it's necessarily the smartest thing to do.
I mean, I think the dumbest bet that you could make right now is trying to bet where Ohtani's going to be next year, because the last time this happened, when he was coming over from Japan, everyone had their reasons why he would sign with this team or that team. The Padres were in, the Rangers were in, the Yankees
Tigers,
were in. All Reds. Of these places that seemed like it would be a great place for him to land. Yeah, Tigers and Reds. A great place for him to land. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to go with the Angels. And everyone just was like, the what? Like, have you... Why would you do that? I want to play with Mike Trout. Okay. So if that is the only thing you have to go on, like, what player does he want to play with for the next however long? I mean, is it Juan Soto in San Diego? Is it Wander Franco in Tampa? Like, would Ohtani take a discount to go play for the Rays for 10 years? Like, I have no idea. I have zero idea where he's going to go.
And you have the alternate universe of him picking the Mariners, who at least thought they had a really good chance for a while. You know, they have Julio now. This could have been the All-Star game of Julio and Shohei hosting together in Seattle.
What could have been?
Yeah. And there are also just, there are so many assumptions we make with a Japanese player that I don't know how much truth there actually is to it. You know, there's the talking point, I guess, that Dennis Lynn wrote about this today. With whether he go back to the Padres, would Yu Darvish being on that team make it less likely that he ends up there? You know, there at least have been stories written by smart people before that Japanese players may not like to be, almost like a sign of respect and honor and seniority, they might not like to be on the same team. So he might prefer to go somewhere else so as not to sort of take the spotlight away. I don't know if that's real for Shohei Ohtani. And so if you factor that in, okay, that checks a couple boxes off. How badly does he want a fully stable roster or just to have some superstars alongside him? Does he care about that sort of thing? So like we can make all these guesses at what he actually wants beyond the bag and the biggest bag of all time. It's just going to be fascinating. Or is it, you know, a geographic decision in large part where he really only wants the East Coast or the West Coast? So anyway, that's all going to be fascinating. It really wasn't the point of I was getting into this. But the Dodgers are I mean, you mentioned the injuries they faced, but they have like an incredible starting five on the injured list right now with Bueller, May, Kershaw, Pepiot, and Thor, Noah Syndergaard. And boy, a lot has changed since they saw the Angels just probably 2 weeks ago. They swept a two-game series, 2-0, 2-0. In that stretch since then, it's like the Dodgers sort of were in quicksand. They faced the Rockies, Royals, Pirates, and I think went 500 in that stretch so far. They have a couple more against the Pirates. The Angels, after losing that series, the Dodgers went Rockies, White Sox, D-backs, Padres, and lost all of them except for a split against the White Sox, a four-game split. And they're currently behind 0-2 in a series against the Padres. They're going to lose that one. So anyway, to set you up for this one, the probables are Tony Gonsolin and Michael Grove for the Dodgers, Griffin Canning and Tyler Anderson. Short one in Los Angeles, but going to be a good one. And honestly, given the talking points that we're going to be having in the second half, the narratives flying around the trade deadline, two pretty good teams to focus on as we head into the All-Star break.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day, crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants, an upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads, an ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLBSHOW.
It's time to look at our top series of the week. My series this week is the Braves and the Rays because, of course, why would we pick anything else? The two best teams in baseball are facing off. The Rays are 57-31 at time of recording, which is on Wednesday, and the Braves are 57-28. The big difference comes when you look at their last 10. Tampa's 5-5. They've been a 500 team for the last week and a half. The Braves finally lost on Tuesday to Cleveland, so they are only 9-1 in their last 10 games. I thought it would be fun because early in the season, as the Rays were taking this enormous lead and winning, I think like 75 games in a row, their offense was unstoppable. I mean, that was what was carrying them. There were holes in the bullpen. The starting pitching was pretty good, but it really didn't matter because they were just outscoring everybody all the time. So I took a look at the last 2 weeks, and in the last 2 weeks, there's nobody. So kind of the sign of a 2 week hot streak for me is an OPS of over 1,000. I mean, sure, 950. You're having a really good stretch, but like a real honest to goodness, like this guy's on fire hot streak. Over 1,000, I think, is kind of that benchmark. Over the last 2 weeks, there's nobody on the Rays with an OPS of over 1,000. Now, that's not to say that they're slumping horribly. They've got, you know, Isak Paredes has a 931 OPS. He's only striking out 9.8% of the time the last 2 weeks. That's great. That is a very good stretch of baseball for him. Luke Rayleigh with a 926 OPS. They've got four guys that are in the 800s, which is still well above average. So they're not going through a major slump. They are simply a pretty good baseball team right now, which is, unfortunately for them, worse than they were in the first month, month and a half, 2 months of the season. So just for kicks, I decided to look up Atlanta for the last 2 weeks. And here are some OPS numbers for Atlanta over the last 2 weeks.
Let me guess. Hold on. Let me guess. I bet they're going to be four or five guys OPS over 1,000.
You nailed it. Four. Acuna, 1342. Olsen 1303, Murphy 1224, and Travis d'Arnaud at 1086. And oh, by the way, there's four more guys with OPS over 900. Basically, their entire lineup right now, it's almost like they should have eight All-Stars, which they do. This is an opportunity for Atlanta to really, I mean, we could be looking at a World Series preview here, which is weird to say. I think it's just always going to be weird to say when you're talking about the Rays in the World Series, but that's just the fact of the matter. They are still the favorite until they're not. So it is a good chance for Atlanta to kind of get their bluff in early. If this is a World Series matchup, kind of have that confidence of like, hey, look what we did to you guys back just before the All-Star break. We know we can beat you. For the Rays, it's obviously a chance to get back on top and get the juggernaut moving again. If they can be successful against the Braves, I think that's a very good sign for them as they hope to sustain the success into the second half.
The Braves are doing this without Max Fried and Kyle Wright. They barely have an impact this season. So, yeah, crazy. So my series of the weekend is Cincinnati at Milwaukee. This is this is going to be a fight for the top of the NL Central, which is no longer such an like it was right in line with AL Central recently, where it's like you're fighting for anybody to get over 500. Doing a little bit better now. Cincinnati 47-39, one game up on Milwaukee's 46-40. Milwaukee's been hot though. They've been hot and they've been being able to get their lineup rolling in a way that is crucial right now, but also heading into the trade deadline as they decide what to do, because this is not a particularly potent lineup, although Christian Yelich has been fantastic this whole season. He's tracking toward maybe a 20 homer, 30 steal type season. Or no, he's already at 20, so probably 35, 40 steals. He's sort of the Christian Yelich 2.0 is a pretty incredible hitter still and offensive threat. Better lately, we've seen from Jesse Winker, from William Contreras, and if those guys can click, yeah, like this is an offense that can do enough damage that when you have Corbin Burns and you have Brandon Woodruff when healthy, although he's faced a little bit of a delay in his recovery, and you know, prime Julio Teheran back in action, this is a team that can I don't know, they've just got some real horses in that rotation. So I won't bet against these Brewers just yet. However, looking over at what the Reds are doing, Ellie De La Cruz still batting over 300, 10 steals, just 110 or so plate appearances in the major so far. So I made the bold prediction in our power rankings this week that the Reds would go 2, 3, 4, 5 in the Rookie of the Year voting. I think the biggest challenge to that, A, is one of them winning it, although Corbin Carroll is really going to be tough to beat when he was up the whole season. It's probably Patrick Bailey with the Giants getting a couple votes. But Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Steer, Andrew Abbott, and Matt McClain. That's my 2, 3, 4, 5 right there. So going to be a good series. The probables in that one, Burns, Colin Ray, Julio Teheran against Andrew Abbott, Luke Weaver, and TBD. So we'll ride into the All-Star weekend like that. We wanted to shout out a couple of different series too. One of my favorites, Levi. Mets and the Padres and the disappointing off. Yeah, who thought they'd be rolling into the All-Star break like that?
The Super Bowl.
Nice. We also, to be clear, because everyone's wondering, they came here for the Fish and Rangers content, cut ourselves off. So you're going to have Phillies against the Marlins. You're going to have the Rangers against the Nationals, but we are not allowed to speak any further about that.
No, we're doing Dry July. We just needed some time to reset the system.
All right, Levi, it's that time again. Time for us to step into the On Deck Arcade and make our arms race picks for the weekend. If you haven't been following us, good. The arms race is something we do each weekend. We pick one start, we put them head to head, and we find out which guy has a better game score 2.0. If you win that, that's the W for the week. If you take that, it's the L. I've taken 8 L's out of 8. I'm looking for a big bounce back here. So I have two I feel great about. And the one I'm going to go with is Logan Webb against the Rockies in San Francisco. It's a big part for me. I think it's a day game, so it may not be quite as bad of a park factor, but I'm hoping for as much of a suppressed run environment as I can. Logan Webb, keep the ball on the ground. The Rockies don't know what they're doing outside of Coors. Let's go.
I had two that I felt pretty good about. My one hesitation on one of them, you actually talked me out of pay. I was going to pick Andrew Abbott for the Rays against the Brewers, but you just talked up the Brewers offense. So I'm going to take the easy layup. I'm going to go Aaron Civale against the Royals because it's the Royals.
I like it. I've already used up my Guardians, so I couldn't go there. But I also know the other guy I was looking at, we'll check in Monday, was Kevin Gausman against the Tigers. You've already done your Blue Jays. To remind the listener, we're only allowed to use the team one time. And also to remind Levi, he wasn't sure about that.
I knew it with the hitters. I just didn't know it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to save him. All right, it's time for us to get going. Thanks for listening. Thanks to producer Brian for handling us on the ones and twos. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic for $1 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseballshow during our summer sale. Sign up for The Windup, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Coming up next in your feed, the 3-0 show. Derek Van Riper, Britt Jaroli, Eno Saris getting you ready for the second half of the season. No show for us on Monday as we take an all-star break, except for me, headed to Seattle for that one. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS, and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. The two of us will be back after the all-star break with more of What's on Deck.
I still don't know what's inside of a fish.
Guts.
I don't think so.